And then the bones would come out, and then that there would be, they would watch, see what the elephant does. So the elephant suddenly saw the mouse. The elephant actually jumped. Well, we presume the elephant was scared. But was he really scared of a mouse? Later people have done other experiments. They try other animals. The elephant would still jump. It turned out the elephant does not like things that are very small running around them. apparently the elephant, the vision is not the best. So that when they're not able to see things very clearly, and they see the small things running around, they are scared, but they're really more surprised. So they did not know how to handle it. Now, they would not be afraid if there's a big lion or a tiger around and so on. They would be, but I mean, they're not as scared. They won't jump because they know they have fight. But when things are very small and they couldn't see very clearly, they would jump. Now, many people in the church have said the Old Testament teaches us how to keep the law, that we can be saved by the law. And then the New Testament tells us that we are saved by faith, by grace, through faith. And we somehow think that faith only applies to the New Testament. I tell you, that's a myth. Let's do some myth busting. Faith is not limited to the New Testament. As a matter of fact, that's why I chose the Hebrew 11. In Hebrew 11, we don't have time to go through that, but talks about all the great heroes of faith in the Old Testament. They are all the people who belong to the Old Testament, and they were great heroes of faith. So when we start reading the Hebrews 11, we know those people belong to the Old Testament, and they were people of faith. And that's what verse 39 says. These were all commanded for the faith. Not by keeping the law. So the law, let's get rid of the concept that somehow keeping the law is being taught in the Old Testament. Somehow we can be saved by keeping the law, I should say. And then we're saved by faith in the New Testament. That is a myth. Whether it's through the Old Testament or through the New Testament, we are taught to have faith. We are taught to trust and obey. Trust God and obey. You cannot say, I trust God, and then you don't obey. Alright? We obey God by keeping the commandments, or keeping the law. And Jesus said, I have come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. That's the New Testament. So do not think for a moment that the law belongs only to the Old Testament. Okay. So those people who have great faith in the Old Testament, in chapter 11. But then what does that have got to do with us? What are we told to do? I mean, are we here just to keep the Ten Commandments? What are we supposed to do? Now, the many facets of this, the answer to that, many ways we can answer that. But I like verse 1 of chapter 12. He says, therefore, okay, they have talked about all the great people of faith, in the Old Testament, all those heroes and so on. Okay. He says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, they're like witnesses, they're like examples for us. They're, you know, that's how the way they live their lives. Then, the three verbs in those two verses that I want to highlight. The first one is, let us throw off. Throw off. That's why I chose the title, Athletic Faith. Faith is athletic. He said, which commentary says that? I made it up. It's not. But it is athletic. Three verbs, and they are all verbs of action. First one, throw up. If I was carrying a very heavy backpack on my back, and then after school, I get home and say, I can get it off. I can drop it off. Okay? I threw up because that was heavy on my back. It was weighty. It was really causing me to walk very slowly. It was really hurting my back. Let it throw off everything that hinders me. The two things you're talking about. That everything that hinders and the sin that entangles. Two things. There are certain things that hinders us, and there are certain things that actually entangles us. And I would like to spend some more time talking about separating those two things. Now, when I walked in this morning, I saw this big word, sin. Now, I did not do that. God did. No, you, I don't know who did. But you see that word, right? I think that's why we use this place today. That one was written before I came in. So, but besides sin, there were the things that hinders us. Things that were not sinful, but they hinders us. We have to throw off those things. Secondly, let us run. The second word is run. That's also at the left. One is throw off, the other is run. And then third word, fix our eyes, meaning keep looking. Keep looking. Another translation would be keep staring at Jesus. The Greek word for this fix the eyes literally like very focused looking at Jesus. So three verbs. Throw off, run, fix your eyes. Keep looking. Keep looking. Those three verbs. Can someone do the next grade? You're hired. Great. Excellent. Excellent. Oh, okay, this one. Okay. Now, first part, there are three words, and I just have three pictures. Okay? I think pictures, one picture, and a picture is worth 1,000 words, and I think it's true. Now, besides the Mythbusters, I like watching the BBC News for whatever reason. Okay? I like the BBC News. And this was reported by the BBC News. Very recently. Okay? Now, I know this is too small, you may not be able to see that. You may not be able to see that. Now, you don't need to look at the bulletin right now. You don't need to look at the bulletin right now or anything else. This is time to look at my beautiful pictures. It took me a long time to get those pictures. Okay? All right. Good. Don't let anything entangle you. That's it. Other things that distract you. Other things that are not sinful from them, you know. I'm not making noise, I'm just looking at something else. Entangles you. Now, let me get back to the picture that I was talking about. BBC News, I think it was the last couple of months. There was a Canadian fish farm in British Columbia. Can you all see the picture? Okay. I hope not. Okay, can you take this? I'm sure you cannot figure out what's inside the picture. It's a mess. But what it is, some of you may be able to read the words there. It says, octopus, an eagle, square off at a Canadian farm. What happened was this eagle, this is British Columbia, and there was a fish farm nearby. This eagle came down to trying to find his lunch. Catch some fish. Well, I mean, someone having a fish farm nearby, I mean, that's fantastic. Okay? That's buffet. So you come and serve yourself. So you go down and try to find it. So that's what we were doing. Except this one was a heavy lunch. Guess what? The eagle caught an octopus. And this octopus wrapped itself. That's why you can't see it. It's a mess. The octopus wrapped itself around the eagle. Now, I digress at this point, and you can talk among yourself later. How many legs does an octopus have? I'm not going to ask you for quite answers, okay? Well, you say, no, they don't have legs, they only have tentacles. You're wrong. They have legs, or you can call them arms, whatever. Okay, but that's us. We can talk about it afterwards, okay? But this is the octopus was just as athletic as the eagle. So this eagle got here a fantastic lunch, and this octopus wrapped itself around the eagle. So who won? Nobody. The octopus was not able to push the eagle down to the water. The eagle was not able to fly with the octopus wrapped around. So what happened? That's when they used the word square off. The eagle was not killed or drowned. Sitting on the water. The octopus was not hurt, just wrapped around the eagle. Swear. That is what the passage was just talking about. Hinders, not kill. There are things in life, in the spiritual life, same thing, that is not poisonous to us, but somehow prevents the eagle from soaring, from flying. If you're the eagle, if I were the eagle, I would say, someone told me, how come you're not flying or soaring into the sky? Oh, I'm just taking a swim. But the eagle's not supposed to swim, it's supposed to soar. Okay? Now, as a Christian, we have to be very careful. I know quite a few Christians, young or old, they still come to church, they still do this, they still do the daily devotions, but they're having a swim. They're not sorry. Too many of those. I've seen too many of those. What they're doing is not sinful. They're not being poisoned. But they're being dragged down. Well, not very down, not enough to be drowned. But they're things. Now, I don't know what those things are in your life. Company for adults. Three things. Money, power, and sex. Those are three. Now, for you, maybe different. Maybe bring. It may be the something. Maybe the king. I don't know. You people can answer much better than I can. And later, after my talk, right after my talk, I have someone to tell you what the practical things you can do. Someone who can speak much better than I can, and he will tell you. Okay, that's the problem. That's a surprise I have arranged for you. But let me just get through this. What is entanglement? Whatever is preventing you from soaring high in the sky. Entanglement. Now, yes, sin we're not supposed to commit. Yes, yes, the things there. But let me not talk about sin, not that it's not important, it's very important, but let me just say, besides sins, there is something else we have to be careful of. And often, that's being dragged. Most preachers will tell you about sin. Yes, that's very important. But what about those things? Why are we not soaring? Why about this certain congregation to be so stagnant? That's what it is. Next. Good. Let's run. The second group. Run. Okay. Or run after.
Okay. I'm from the Paris. I'm from Manitoba. If I use the word combine, I don't know whether you actually, some of you may or may not be familiar with that. Okay. A combine for us is a combine harvester. And that's one picture of that. It's a huge, huge field. And then you cannot see the end of it. You can just keep looking at it, there's the horizon, but you cannot see the end of the field. So those farmers, they work very hard. Certain times of year, because the window of opportunity is very short. So they have to work very hard. A certain time of the summer months, they have to do the harvesting. They try to have two harvests every year. Okay. Now, if they do not do the harvesting within a couple of weeks or so, or if there's heavy rain or some snow and so on, that would be, the whole year could be ruined. So it's very important to do that. And I have a friend who has a huge farm, and then he would have to do that, the harvesting. He told me. He asked me, you know, how the farmers know how to use it, to navigate the combine so straight. I mean, you can see that there's very straight, a straight line. He asked me, how do they do that? You know? I said, no. I mean, you don't use a GPS, you do things like that. You don't use, there's no line to guide them. How do you navigate those things? I'm sure those things are not easy to navigate. I mean, easy for me to go in circles. No, they were saying, no, there's a trick. And they learned it as a boy, the farmers. When you sit on the combine, you look as far as you can and fix at a certain point and pull up the combine. Then you need a straight line. Next. Look straight forward. Do not look. Look straight forward. And go like that. You will be in a straight line. That's what my farmer friend told me. Next. Thirdly, fix your eyes, the same thing, but this is more to it. Fix your eyes on Jesus. The first one was throw off. Throw off the entanglements. Number two, run after it. And that's fixed, look straight forward. And then number three, as the looking forward, and then keep staring at Jesus. I keep thinking about the Greek word scopus, and that we really focused on Jesus. Okay. I have farmer friends, I also have a lawyer friend. But this is in Winnipeg. Now, this lawyer friend, once told me, he asked me, Kevin, what's your hobby? I said, I like traveling and I like to do things and playing with my grandkids and some things like that. And I asked him, so what is your hobby? Oh, I think he'd been waiting for me to ask that question. He said, I found a new hobby recently. I said, tell me. I knew, I understand he knew how to fly a plane. He's a good pilot. By training, not so much the background, but this is part of his hobby. But he said, a new hobby. I said, what's your new hobby? He said, I'm training other pilots. I'm teaching them how to fly a plane. I said, wow, then you must be really good. And then he asked me, do you know when I teach them, what is the most difficult part? I said, no, I have no idea. The most difficult part is not to fly up, it's how to land safely. That makes sense. And then he asked me, do you know how to land a plane safely? Why is it so difficult for them to learn how to land a plane safely? I said, no, you tell me. Because when I tell them to start landing, or planning landing, they start looking down. Land, right? So they look at the land. Guess what? The next wave, is diving down. In order to land a plane safely, Yes. Do not look down. Do not look like where you are. Keep looking at where you go in. Don't look down, because where your eyes are, you will go in that direction, or go into that direction. Remember that phrase. Wherever your eyes are looking, you will end up there. The same thing when you're driving in the street. Look where you ever look. If you suddenly see someone staggering across the street, or someone with a handicapped person, or something, if you start looking at this, very often you end up driving the road. Where your eyes were, you go the same direction. And this is why the Bible tells us, keep your eyes at Jesus. Because where your eyes are, I know you're running, but depending where you're going. The second word is running. The third word is, where are you running towards? And look down, look at Jesus. So let me just summarize then. Athletic faith. Faith always involves actions. That's what chapter 11 in Hebrews tells us. Always, it's part of their life. They lift it up. Faith can be seen. If someone says, I have faith, but invisible faith, that is fake. Real faith always, the biblical faith that is always visible. That's what chapter 11 of Hebrews tells us. And then if it's visible, how does it manifest itself? Three ways. Throw up, keep running, keep staring at Jesus. Then, as the book of Isaiah tells us, chapter 40, it says, those who wait upon the Lord will be like eagles. They will soar high in the sky. Now, that's all I have to say. I'm going to give the time to Ron. He's going to take about 5 minutes to share a few words with us.
I want to thank Dr. Young for always giving us wisdom in God's Word. I have only 5 minutes to share, so it's very difficult. However, I want to share my genuine self to all of you in the journey of faith to continue to carry the context that Dr. Young had left off, throw off, running towards, and looking at. 5 weeks ago, Dr. Young invited me to share some of my journey. I am very, very scared because it's very difficult to follow through after such a great sermon. So I pray to God, what do I share to the dear youth that I have in front of me here? First of all, when I see all of you, I am humbled. I'm extremely humbled because I come to Christ when I was 16, so back in 1991, so you don't need to do the math, and I was grade 11. Within the congregation here, many are my big brothers and big sister at the time. One of them is our current chairman, Ryan. So thank you to him. On the same context, I also see some of the youth when I was first church plant and when I was still at GCGC, and I was serving them when they are grade 2, grade 3, and now they are professional. They are also sitting within us, and I'm also very thankful. So I think in the context of faith, I come to Christ is whenever we see some testimony, talk about some figure that they give us a huge, great, inside out, upside down testimony, I was asking myself, that I want to have that kind of testimony when I come to Christ. So since I come to Christ 26, 27 years ago, I don't have those. And as I grow spiritually and I pray to God and I know more, God has a unique calling on each and every one of us and yourself here in front of me. So I remember vividly my first serving. It's not simple. It is doing a PowerPoint. You know, back in early 90s, the PowerPoint is not like this. The PowerPoint, I sit here, there's a huge glass thing, a metal arm, you flip up, you put a transparency there, and it's a very, very accurate serving that you have to do. Because if you don't push it properly to the right lyrics line, all the congregation look at you, every single one. And the pastor will look at you, the deacons will look at you, the cell leader will look at you. So you have to really focus on that. That is my first serving when I come to Christ early 90s in UCBC. And that is a small serving, and I think that is one of the servings that I treasure the most when I was start serving. Time goes. I learned to be a cell member. At the time, it's fellowship. I have friends like you. How many of you are 16 to 18 right now? Raise your hand. Okay, that is not your right. That's about 50 years ago. So I think when we are in the age as student, coming to Christ, I have my bias on it. I honestly believe that when you are coming to Christ when you are at a student age, it's just a lot, much more blessed. I'm not diminishing when people come to Christ later, don't get me wrong, but when you're at a student age, when you come to Christ, it is precious. It's that house God wrote you. Think about who, when you, as a 45 years old man right now, what is my most precious friendship? It's always my primary school friend, my secondary school friend, and my university friend. And thankfully, in the family of church, in a church setting, we can also have that family here. So, fast forward to 20 years later, I think around 4 years ago, one of my mentors, a pastor, he became a school trustee in 2014. And at that time, there's something that in the Chinese churches, in a very limited view, Chinese churches, Christian is very, very sensitive. It's talk about the health education. And now I look back, that is very important. That is only one part of education that is important. Education is so big. So I pray to God. I would never imagine that I would put my name in front until 2 years ago. Obviously, I have this. I am a current trustee, by the way. But 2 years ago, or 4 years ago, when I stopped praying, God whispered to me through different people, through prayer, and there is some direct evidence to come to me. My mentor told me that if you want to run, you have to pray for your wife's blessing. You cannot go ask for her blessing. God had to move her to initiate the blessing to me if you really want to do this. So I start praying. So one morning, my wife wake up, both still tired. Then you run home. Yeah, come on. You should always pray for her. So if you want, just go do it. So I just take it like that. Immediately, to be honest to you, I am very, very scared. I am very, very scared. Up to this point, when I look back, I'm a homegrown kid in GCGC and PGC forever. In the greenhouse, no attack, nothing. Everything is very nicely done. But God slowly allowed trials in my own leadership. Myself. I have a lot of things to repent for, and I just want to let you know, God is a faithful God, and He always keeps His promise. I have a lot to share, and I would like to share to you that if you put your faith in front, faith carries actions, okay? Faith is not just necessarily your own confidence and a group of people to encourage. Faith is about submission. So, I submit to the Lord's calling. Obviously, as a candidate of running an elected position, of course you want to win, right? If you don't want to win, why would you run? I want to do it for the good, for the youth, for student education. And so I put my name, I want to win. And there are a huge amount of volunteers that God provided to me that I never would expect. They are my volunteer in my life. For 7 days non-stop since the kickoff, I submit my application the very, very last day of the deadline back in 2018, July. And then the campaign started running August. For 70 days non-stop, I knocked door every day. I have knocked over 3,000 doors to my neighborhood. And except that on one day, the Thanksgiving, October, one of my volunteers was telling me, "Hey Ron, do you mind to just allow the volunteer to have one day of rest? Because they are tired too." So I say, "Sure, let's do that." And this is, it's God reminding me, like, it's a Thanksgiving, so we should give thanks. And then what happened is, all my volunteers start campaigning. I just go to a supermarket myself all day, and just to greet people, happy Thanksgiving. I just go to say happy Thanksgiving to all the people walking in and out of TNT right in front of my house. So October 22nd, 2018, it is the day of the election, and in the nighttime, a lot of my good friends and volunteers come together of the victory party to wait to see the result. So there was a big, huge glitch over the in the night, and the result was not coming until 12 o'clock. Mark was using the best technology, but they are the latest, and that is one small glitch. So everybody left, except a few of my core volunteers. They stayed with me at my in-laws' place. That's a common place that we can stay longer. So the result came, and when we see the result, I see myself come up the first. I am speechless and humble, so we give thanks together. The Thanksgiving thing is, the first runner-up of that riding, he's also a Christian. He's a lawyer. He's a very, very good brother in Christ, and he congratulated me. And I have the opportunity to meet him at a later stage in some other event that Ron will be running again 4 years later. If you're not running, I will run. If you're running, I fully support you. When I hear that, to me, I see God's unfaithful love to the people who He loved and when we are faithful for Him. The last, I did not look at the watch, I'm sure I go 15 minutes already. Just want to share one statement that I learned. 2017, when I go to a conference with World Vision Canada to World Vision US, when the speaker conclude his conference with one statement, which is very profound and powerful to me, that is lifelong obedience in the same direction. So I repeat that statement. Lifelong obedience in the same direction. And that is my philosophy for serving our Lord. I have a lot of failure. I yell at my boy. I fight with my wife. Sometimes, as you know. However, I am a redeemed sinner and continue to serve Him to the best I can. So I want to encourage all the youth here. That's exactly how you build your faith, by action. Natalie has been serving in the the main event, memorizing Cantonese lyrics and serve with the Cantonese speaking people. Very amazing. And Jasmine will continue to help when she's not in her work term and come to lead. Become a big brother and big sister. You know there are more than 100 PGC kids looking upon you. When you were PGC kids, we have to set a good example. So now you are the big brother and big sister for the upcoming and uprising PGC kids. So I challenge you and I invite you humbly to walk in Him and take action from small steps. Thank you very much.